The other half of the elephant, balancing against all probability on the two legs at the rear end, stood a few yards away. In between was the rest of the elephant. Ponder Stibbons told himself that if you cut an elephant in half and scooped out the middle, what you would get would be, well, mess. There wasn't much mess here. Pink and purple tubes had uncoiled neatly onto a workbench. A small stepladder led up into another complexity of tubes and bulky organs. There was a general feel of methodical work in progress. This wasn't the horror of an elephant in an explosive death. This was an elephant under construction. Little clouds of white light spiraled in from all corners of the cavern, spun for a moment, and became the god of evolution, who was standing on the stepladder. He blinked at Ponder.
"Oh, it's you," he said. "One of the pointy creatures. Can you tell me what happens when I do this?"
He reached inside the echoing depths of the front half. The elephant's ears flapped.
"The ears flapped," squeaked Ponder.
The god emerged, beaming.
"It's amazing how difficult that is to achieve," he said. "Anyway, what do you think of it?"
Ponder swallowed.
"It's very good," he managed.
He took a step back, bumped into something, and turned and looked into the gaping maw of a very large shark. It was in the middle of another, well, he had to think of it as a sort of biological scaffolding. It rolled an eye at him. Behind it, a much bigger whale was being assembled.
"It is, isn't it?" said the god.
Ponder tried to concentrate on the elephant.
"Although," he said.
"Yes?"
"Are you sure about the wheels?"
The god looked concerned.
You think they're too small? Not quite suitable for the veldt?"
Probably not.
"It's very hard to design an organic wheel, you know," said the god reproachfully. "They are little masterpieces."
"You don't think just, you know, moving the legs about would be simpler?"
"Oh, we'd never get anywhere if I just copied earlier ideas," said the god. "Diversify and fill all niches, that's the ticket."
"But is lying on your side in a mud hole with your wheels spinning a very important niche?" said Ponder.
The god looked at him and then stared glumly at the half-completed elephant.
"Perhaps if I made the tyres bigger," he said, hopefully, yet in a hopeless voice.
"I don't think so," said Ponder.
"Oh, you're probably right."
The little god's hands twitched.
"I don't know. I do try to diversify, but sometimes it's so difficult."
Suddenly, he ran across the crowded cave towards a huge pair of doors at the far end and flung them open.
"I'm sorry, but I just have to do one," said the god. "They calm me down, you know."
Ponder caught up. The cave beyond the doors was bigger than this one and brilliantly lit. The air was full of small bright things hovering in their millions like beads on invisible strings.
"Beetles?" said Ponder.
"There's nothing like a beetle when you're feeling depressed," said the god.
He'd stopped by a large metal desk and was feverishly opening drawers and pulling out boxes.
"Can you pass me that box of antenna? It's just on the shelf there. Oh, yes. You can't beat a beetle when you're feeling down. Sometimes I think it's what it's all about, you know."
"What all?" said Ponder. The god swept an arm in an expansive gesture.
"Everything," he said cheerfully. "The whole thing. Trees, grass, flowers. What did you think it was all for?"
"Well, I didn't think it was for beetles," said Ponder. What about the elephant, for a start?"
The god already had a half-finished beetle in one hand. It was green.
"Dung," he said triumphantly.
No head, when screwed onto a body, ought to make a sound like a cork being pushed into a bottle, but the beetles did, in the hands of the god.
"What?" said Ponder. "That's rather a lot of trouble to go to just for dung, isn't it?"
"That's ecology for you, I'm afraid," said the god.
No, that can't be right, surely," said Ponder. "What about the higher life forms?"
"Higher?" said the god. "You mean like birds?"
"No, I mean like..."
Ponder hesitated. The god had seemed remarkably incurious about the wizards, possibly because of their lack of resemblance to beetles, but he could see a certain amount of theological unpleasantness ahead.
"Like apes," he said.
"Apes? Oh, very amusing, certainly, and obviously the beetles have to have something to entertain them, but..."
The god looked at him, and a celestial penny seemed to drop.
"Oh, dear. You don't think they're the purpose of the whole business, do you?"
"I'd rather assumed that..." Dear me, the purpose of the whole business, you see, is in fact to be the whole business. Although, he sniffed, if we can do it all with beetles, I shan't complain.